We've been preaching out of Luke chapter 12, and we're going to finish Luke 12 today. We're going to finish Luke 12, and I've got a text that is very long, and so what I'm going to do is it goes from verse 35 through verse 59, and I know that's long, but I'll try to read fast. Let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. Remember, this is Jesus, even though we're only on chapter 12, this is Jesus' final trip to Jerusalem. He's telling these parables on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. This is the end of his earthly ministry. And so he's just days away from hanging on a cross. And here's what he says, Luke chapter 12, verse 35, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third or finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into." Verse 40, "You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter asks a question here in verse 41 that Jesus doesn't even answer. Jesus doesn't even respond. He says, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" In other words, Peter wants to know, is this just for us 12 or is this for everybody? And the Lord said, and again, doesn't even really answer Peter's question. The Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink with the drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful." Verse 47, "And the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act accordingly to his will will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Verse 49. This is kind of a interesting. Jesus says, "I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled." In other words, he says, "I came to start a fire here on the earth and I wish it was already going." Verse 50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." He's talking about going to Calvary. "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." My mother-in-law just left town. I could comment there, but I won't. Verse 54, "He also said to the crowds, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser," and then he's verse 58, his final parable, "as you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. In this passage that we read, I read several parables. And rather than take each parable and talk about it, I'm talking about all of them because I believe that Jesus is trying to make a point with all of these parables. So rather than go into each parable and spend a lot of time on each parable, you know, sometimes if you're so close to the forest, you can't really see what it is. But if you back away, you can get a picture of the overview. So we're going to take this rather large body of scripture and we're going to talk today about a state of readiness. A state of readiness. Let's worship the Lord. God, so thankful to you. Lord, I feel humbled to be able to come before you with your word today. And it's an honor to get to preach and to teach from your word. Lord, I am not worthy to preach this. And none of us are worthy, Lord. But by your blood, we have atonement. And by your blood and by your mercy, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can all be seated today. So I'm going to contend today that Jesus is telling these parables, and it almost sounds like these parables don't have anything to do with each other. And sometimes it almost sounds disjointed because he starts off saying, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And he talks about servants that are waiting for their master to come home. And then he talks about a master that has a house that is not expecting a thief to come. And then he talks about just all the, he talks about these different ones. And I just want to kind of get in here. If you go to verse 35, he said, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Now you say, Brother Wiggins, I do not know what Jesus is meaning there. What does he mean there? In the original Greek, that literally in the Greek is have your loins girded. Have your loins girded. And again, that doesn't mean a whole lot to us now. But back in the Bible days, they would gird their loins, meaning that if I'm getting this right, and I think I am, they wore, you know, like robes. But, you know, if you're going to go out and work in the field, or if you're going to fight a war, or if you're going to be running or whatever, you know, it doesn't work as good. And they would wrap the garments around their legs and then bring part up through their legs. And it almost would take a robe and it would make it to where it was girded around their legs, to where they could run, they could fight a war. And Jesus was saying, and that this translation says, stay dressed for action. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. When do you turn down a lamp? When do you turn it off? When it's time to go to sleep. When it's time to go to sleep, that's when you turn off that lamp. And Jesus was saying, this isn't a time to be sleeping. This is not a time to be sleeping. You need to be dressed for action. You need to be dressed for action. And this kind of harkens back to the, remember when they put the blood on the doorposts in the book of Exodus and they ate that very first Passover. And that was the night that God was going to kill all of the firstborn that didn't have the blood on the doorpost. You know the story. And he said, you're going to eat this Passover. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, he says it like this. He says, in this manner shall you eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. In other words, when you eat this Passover, Israel, you need to eat it ready to leave. You need to be in a state of readiness to leave Egypt. Eat this Passover with your sandals on your feet. Keep your walking staff in your hand. Be ready. Be ready. And Jesus, I think, was hearkening on back to that when he told them, he told his audience, he said, listen, you need to stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. You need to be in a state of readiness all the time. I don't know if it's still true, but years ago, Israel, I read where, I don't know if they still do this, but years ago, they kept their military in a perpetual state of readiness. Because if you look on a map, you've got the Mediterranean Sea, and you've got Israel, and they are surrounded by nations that all want them dead. And there's a saying in Israel, our back is against the sea. In other words, there's no place to run. There's no place to run away to. We're just going to have to stand, and we're going to have to fight. And you had these countries that wanted Israel dead. And so what I read was that they had some F-16 jets that we had sold them. And those some of those F-16 jets stayed not in a hangar, but they stayed perpetually out on the tarmac, ready to go. And there were pilots, and they would take them in shifts, and the pilot would come to where the airplane was, and he would have his flight suit on, all ready to go. Just like Jesus said, be dressed for action. Well, their pilots would have already their flight suits on and have their all of their gear ready to where if an emergency arose, if something happened, they could have, I can't remember the exact, I believe it was something like 11 minutes or 12 minutes. They said that if they got a call for an emergency, if an enemy attacked, they said that they could have an F-16 in the air. It was either in 11 or 12 minutes. Because they are in a constant state of readiness. And I'm going to submit to you that these parables that we're going to go down through here, Jesus is going to be talking about being ready, about staying ready, about living ready, living ready. He said, keep your lamps on. Keep your lamps burning. This is not a time to go to sleep. And in Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul told us, besides this you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. You know what? Spiritually, we need to keep the lights on, folks. Spiritually, we need to have the lights on. We need to be ready for whatever comes. We just need to be ready. And if you look in this next parable here in Luke 12, verse 36 and 37, he said, be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. In other words, that master is going to come home and he's going to find servants that are what? They're in a state of readiness. They're in a state of preparedness. They're not taken by surprise when their master comes. They've been waiting for him to come. They've been waiting. And look at what Jesus says in verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say, he will dress himself for service. That master will come in, and when he comes, if he finds that his servants are in a state of readiness, that they've been waiting for him, that they're prepared, then it says that he will dress himself for service, and he will have them recline at the table, and he, that master, will serve his own servants. Why? Because they were ready. Because they had their lamps burning. They were ready for action. Jesus is trying to urge his audience here to wake up out of any kind of spiritual lethargy that they are in and just live ready, live prepared, expect the unexpected. And in fact, he says in verse 39, he says, but know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Can you get ready for a thief? I mean, let me put it to you this way. Bill, if somebody was to break into your house today, and you knew it ahead of time, would you have came to church this morning? No, you would have stayed home. And we would have read about it in the paper the next day. But you know, you can't plan. You don't know when a thief is coming. You just have to be ready when he arrives. You hear what I'm saying? You don't know when the thief is coming. You just have to be ready when he arrives. Jesus, in all of these parables, he talked about the servants and the master. Now he's talking about a master that's got a house. They're both dealing with being ready, being prepared, being in a state of readiness. And then he starts talking to them about what kind of times are coming. If you look in verse 49, he says, I came to cast fire on the earth and wish it was already kindled. And then he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He's talking about going to the cross and how great a distress it until it's accomplished. And then he said, listen, he said this. Listen, folks, hard times are coming. That's what he said. He said, do you think I've come to give peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. Jesus was saying, listen, my gospel is going to bring people together, but it's also going to have the capacity for people that don't believe the gospel to separate people. And Jesus was telling them, listen, tough times are coming. You're going to be persecuted for being Christians. There's going to be division. When you become Christian, there's going to be family members that are not going to want you to be Christian. And you know what? I am thankful that I have not had to wrestle hard against that. I am thankful that my family was happy that, but I've known people that have family that does everything they can to keep them from going to church. Everything they can to keep them. I've known women that have had unbelieving husbands that husband does everything he can to keep his wife from going to church. Jesus was saying, listen, you need to understand these times are coming. You need to be prepared for them. And then in the next 54, 55, and 56, he said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once a shower is coming. Okay, in the previous verses, he was talking about these times are coming, these times are coming. And then he says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you know a shower is coming. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. Let me explain that. A cloud rising from the west, if you look at Israel, the west is the Mediterranean. And so when you see a cloud coming in off of that cool, it's going to be cool, moist air off of the ocean. And when you see that cloud coming, you know that it's going to rain. But then if you look to the south of Israel on a map, you're going to see a whole bunch of desert. And he says, if a wind comes in from the south off of that hot, dry desert, you know that it's going to be hot. And then he says, you guys know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present time. In other words, Pharisees, Sadducees, you guys can tell the weather. You can predict the weather. You can predict all this stuff, but you cannot see what time you're living in. Right now, you've got your Messiah standing in front of you. Right now, you are in the Messianic age, and you're sitting here trying to decide whether or not you believe. And he was saying, listen, you need to be able to know and be ready and know what times that you're living in. And folks, we're living in some pretty interesting times. I'm not that old, I'm 57. But I will tell you, in my lifetime, it's never been like this before. It's never been like this before. We're living in very uncertain times. I'm hoping and praying for the best. I think we can make it all through this, and I think we can but at the same time, we're living in very interesting times, and Jesus told them, he says, you know, you guys can look at the sky and say that it's going to rain, or you can look at feel a wind and say it's going to be hot. You can do that, but you don't know the time that you're living in, and you're not ready for it. You know what? I want to be ready, church. I want to live ready. And look, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in Luke chapter 19, Jesus is just coming up to the city. And it says, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you. He is foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem. He's predicting the destruction of Jerusalem. He says, for the days will come when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children with you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. We're living in interesting times. And you know what? I'm not up here to say, oh, I think Jesus is fixing to come. The coming of the Lord's right around the corner. No, I'm not here to use any scare tactics. I'm just saying that what Jesus was saying is we need to live in a state of readiness. We need to be observant to what's going on around us. We need to know the times that we are living in and be prepared. I want to tell you, there's nothing worse than getting in a race and not being able to finish it because you didn't realize it was going to be so long. We need to live in a state of total preparedness. If you'll remember last week, Jesus was even dealing with this a little bit last week when we had that parable about the rich man that he said, I got all these crops and I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns to store all of my grain. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night your soul will be required. In other words, Jesus was telling him, you know what? You're prepared for living today, but you're not prepared for eternity. You're not living, you are not ready, and your time is up. You know what? I want to live ready. I want to live ready. Things can change so very, very, very fast. I want to live in a state of preparedness and readiness. I want to be ready. I can remember, Brother Lloyd, this is something that you will have lived through in Tennessee. I remember once we were down in California, and if I've already told this story, forgive me, but we were going, Brother Lloyd, we were going to, in Central California, it's my home church, we were going to go into church, and it was some black clouds in the summertime. Black thunderheads had rolled in. And Lloyd, you've been through some of them thunderstorms there in Tennessee. You know how that game works. And we went to church that night, and the clouds were black, and we started church. And what happens when you get a bunch of thunder and lightning? What can happen? Power goes out. We had about 90 people there that day, that evening. No windows in the church. No windows in the church at all. And we were in song service, just cutting it up, man. If I remember right, I was playing, Carl, I think I was playing bass. That was back in my bass playing days. And all of a sudden, whoosh, total darkness. So now you've got almost 100 people in a room. And it's dark. And I mean graveyard dark. I mean like dark. You can't see where to walk, because there's no windows in the sanctuary. It's just total blackness. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. But Brother Lloyd, Sister Cora Connor, grew up in Tennessee with those thunderstorms. And when she walked out her door and saw those thunderstorms, or those thunderclouds, she turned right around and went right back in her house and put something in her purse. And it went dark, and within just a few seconds, looked like a lightsaber. Here was a flashlight. She shined it off the roof. And she called out, Pastor, it's all right. We got a light here. And everybody could see to get out. Why? Because she came prepared. She was ready. I remember about 2 weeks later, I was up on the platform and I was getting ready we had started service and people were coming up for prayer, and I reached in the pulpit. This is my home church, reached in the pulpit to grab a little bottle of anointing oil. And I reached in there and I looked, and over on the side of the pulpit, there was this little bracket that had been put in, and Brother Bo had bought 4 flashlights because he just like he learned his lesson. Okay, this ain't going to happen again. This ain't going to happen again. I'm going to be ready. Church, I want to tell you something. This is the way we need to live our lives. This is the way that we need to live our lives, in a state of preparedness, a state of readiness to where we're, you know what, things might be going so good this time next year that we just don't know what to talk about. But things could also go the other way. But whatever happens, we need to live our lives in a state of readiness. This last parable I'm going to tell, I think you can see how all these other parables have been dealing with being prepared, being ready. Be prepared, be ready. Let's look at this last parable here of chapter 12, verse 57, 58, and 59. He says, when you read these parables, it almost, you think, these don't even, it's just like he's just jumping around. What, you know, but when you realize that there's a common theme in all of these parables, and that theme is be prepared, be ready, know what time you're living in. Look at verse 57. Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hands you over to the officer, and the officer puts you in prison. You say, Brother Wiggins, what's he talking about there? He's saying if you get accused of something, it'd really be good if you would take care of it before you get before the judge. Okay? You know, I can remember once I was called for jury duty. They were interviewing us and everything. And then, guess what? The accused settled with the district attorney. They said, listen, you know what? Maybe we don't want this going to the judge. What you say, well, what's Jesus saying here? Can I just put it in common day vernacular? Jesus is saying, don't wait until judgment day to try to get things settled with your accuser. Friends, if you're human, you've sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. You know what? Don't wait until judgment day to settle your debt. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready to go right now. Well, you know what? And I have heard this so many times. As just being in the ministry and of dealing with people, I've heard so many times, I've heard somebody say, you know what, preacher, you know, one of these days, when the time is right, I'm going to get right with God. Well, I plan on, you know what, I've got some things I want to do first. I've got some things that are going on in my life. But there's going to come a day that I'm going to make my way to God. You know what? Someday never comes. It never happens. Someday never comes. Jesus was saying, listen, don't wait until judgment day. Don't wait until that judge has his black robe on and is sitting in the bench with a gavel in his hand. Don't wait until that then to settle with your accuser. Take care of your debts right now. And I'm not talking financial debts. I'm talking the debt of sin that we all have. Jesus says, settle that ahead of time. Settle that debt ahead of time, to where when you appear before the judge, all it is just a very, very, very pleasant experience. I can remember Brother Enrique from my home church, the church we pastored in Chowchilla. Enrique will not mind me saying this. He doesn't mind. Years ago, before he got in church, he made some mistakes. And those mistakes, one of those mistakes ended up being a felony. Okay, let's put it that way. You know what? He did his time, got out, got in church, became one of the most faithful men that I've ever pastored. And he told me, he said, you know what? He said, it's been enough years now. And I have been checking into this. And since this is my only time I've ever been arrested, only felony, I can get my record expunged. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, would you come to court as a character witness for me and get up and tell the judge, you know, how great of a guy I am and all that stuff. And Enrique was that good. I said, you bet you. I want to tell you something. Here you've got this debt to society, this felony. I'll tell you what he was doing. Enrique won't mind me saying this. I'm not bringing up any of his dirty laundry. They would give him the key to a car and say, go get in that car. You'll find in such and such parking lot, you'll find this car. Get in the car. Do not look in the trunk, but drive that car to another location. And we're going to pay you. It was like $1,200 every time he drove it. So, I mean, he was just driving the car, but there was, by modern day standards, that's called a mule. You're smuggling drugs. And he got caught. So here you have this debt to society. I can remember standing before the judge with Enrique in that courtroom. It was Judge Moffitt, if you remember Judge Moffitt, Sister Wiggins. And that judge looked at Enrique's record, looked at his application, looked at Enrique and said, I'm signing the order. And he says, this is going away. Your record is now expunged. Mr. Del Moro, it's as though it never happened. Enrique Del Moro walked in that courtroom, a convicted felon. He walked out of that courtroom with his record wiped. You know what, church? I don't want to wait until judgment day to settle my debt with the Lord. I don't want to wait. I want, just like he said in Romans 13, it's knowing the hour that it's high time to awaken out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Let's all stand today. You know, this is kind of a carnal way to end this, but I can remember walking as a kid. I mean, my mom wouldn't live in a house if it didn't have a pantry. You could, at any given time growing up as a kid, you could walk in and there would just be, she would not buy a can of green beans. She would buy a case of green beans. There was just cases of stuff. And I would think, my goodness, does she feel like we're going to have, you know, a nuclear holocaust? I mean, why? And I would go over to other friends' houses, and none of their moms did this. But yet my mom, I mean, just things, just food, 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 food. One freezer was never enough. And I can remember when she would buy paper towels and toilet paper, she'd buy them by the case. I could walk out in the laundry room, there'd be two or three unopened cases, and I'd think, man, how much toilet paper can you use, man? Well, she was born in 1929, which is the same year that the banks failed and the Great Depression started. And so she knew what it was like to grow up in a home where maybe there wasn't going to be enough food. And so in those days, she learned that you prepare and be in a state of readiness if things go south bad. And when I can remember standing out in my garage when this pandemic started, and Sister Wiggins, I can't claim credit for this, before it all started, just on a whim, suspicion, Sister Wiggins started buying toilet tissue by the case. And I was standing out there in our garage looking at three cases of toilet tissue stacked on top of each other. And we all know what happened, how it disappeared from the shelves. And I thought to myself, Joanne Wiggins would not have gotten caught off guard. She would have been ready. She would have been ready for it. And church, we just need to live in a perpetual state of readiness. Let's stay ready. Let's stay prayed up. Let's stay in our Bibles. And let's don't wait until judgment day to settle our debts with the Lord. Let's make sure that stuff gets taken care of right now. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Oh God, I praise you. Oh Lord, I love you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Just stay where you are, and we're just going to have a moment to pray. And Sister Wiggins is going to play a little something here, and let's just have a few moments to just get our minds on the Lord. Get in a place of readiness today. Let's all stand today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want... I plan on living to be 100. That's my plan. I'd like to break 100 and keep right on going. But I want to live like this is my last service. I want to be ready. I want to live in a state of readiness. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. God, I praise you. God, I bless your name, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.